There's been a couple of big stories making the rounds this week. One being the Port of Newcastle and the second being New England MP Barnaby Joyce and Senator Matt Canavan wanting agriculture exempt from the Prime Minister's net zero emissions target scheme. To talk about these two stories, I'm joined by Hunter MP Joel Fitzgibbon. Joel, how are you doing this morning?
I'm very well, thanks, Jess.
Now, let's start with the Port of Newcastle. As we heard earlier this week, the ANZ pulled out from the port and the National Australia Bank jumped in. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, obviously, I find the ANZ Bank's decision very disappointing. No port, no coal mines, no jobs, no longer any underpinning of our hunters' economy. So it's, I think, a silly decision, but it doesn't really concern me because the Port of Newcastle is a diverse and profitable business. And if the ANZ Bank doesn't want to continue to fund it, then I'm sure someone else will. Now, the other interesting part of this equation, Jess, is that I remind your listeners that the Chinese own a 50% of the Port of Newcastle. That was an acquisition approved by, I think, Scott Morrison when he was Treasurer. I don't have any particular concern about that, but it is likely that if the major funders in Australia decide out of a response to shareholder green activism not to fund coal assets, then someone else will. Mm. And that money is likely to come in the form of capital inflows from other countries. And in this case, the Port of Newcastle is likely to come from China. Now, don't we want more independence post-COVID, not less independence on other nation states? I think so. So I think that the ANZ Bank has to start listening to more than just the minority of shareholders who are more obsessed about climate change than they are about our economic interests.
It seems crazy. I mean, we've got 9,000 jobs at that port. Coal isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It affects the whole of the region, the whole state even.
Well, it's a bit of a virus, isn't it, Jess? You'll recall that not all that long ago, Newcastle City Councillors resolved to divest themselves of, that is the council, of any interest in fossil fuels and coal in the Hunter region. This is the council which has within its boundaries the biggest coal port in the world, and they're resolving, and which creates so many jobs in their local community, resolving not to invest council's finances in these projects. The world really has gone mad. But again, I'm not concerned because if they don't want to put their money in, someone else will, because the Port of Newcastle is a very profitable business.
Mm. It certainly didn't take long for the National Australia Bank to jump in.
Yeah, well, exactly. And look, the ANZ Bank's obviously trying to send a message to other potential investors. That's fine. It's a free world. They're entitled to do that. There's no law against it. But, you know, it's just a signal to others. It's the same with our coal mines, Jess. Yeah, some of the bigger players, which are publicly listed, are getting out of coal mining. But when they get out, another investor will come in, more likely a non-global investor, not so exposed to activist shareholders. There is money there, and there's money to be made. And whatever that is the case, and the coal industry has a very bright future on that front, then the money will come from somewhere. The money will keep coming, and those coal mines and the infrastructure around it, like the port, will continue to operate.
Yeah, exactly. Now, New England MP Barnaby Joyce and Senator Matt Canavan this week have been speaking out about the Prime Minister's net zero emissions scheme. They want agriculture to be exempt from it. I believe New Zealand does something similar to this. What are your thoughts on that this week?
Well, actually, New Zealand does something much different, Jess. New Zealand has a carbon tax. It's called an emissions trading scheme, but you know, if you put a price on carbon in some form, it's fair to call it a tax in my view. And what they do in New Zealand is discount the tax on farmers, and their plan is to remove that discount over time. So in the early years, they only pay about a third of what others pay in the trading scheme, but over time, they'll pay the full freight. So I don't really know what Barnaby and Matt Canavan are on about. You can't be exempt from a scheme that doesn't exist. Now, Scott Morrison has promised he won't have a carbon tax. He says he's taking the technology path, and I welcome that. So what are they being exempt from? The other point, Jess, is that no matter what sort of system you have to address carbon emissions, there are big opportunities for the farm sector, because net zero emissions is about putting out no more greenhouse gas emissions than you are taking out of the atmosphere. And the land sector, farming and forestry and the like, are really well placed to make money out of this system, because they can do lots to sequester carbon, improving soils, planting trees, improving ground cover, etc., improving efficiencies on farms. And they can do a lot to reduce emissions by simply, in one instance, just addressing the level of methane coming from our cattle. So if there's going to be a system, you don't want agriculture out, you want them in so that they can actually benefit from them. But I just don't know what they're exempting them from. I think what's happening here is the idea of going to net zero emissions by 2050 is becoming universal. Everyone agrees with it. So they know that's inevitable, so they're looking for another way to make a noise.
Yeah. Certainly the National Farmers Federation doesn't want agriculture exempt from the plan at all.
Exactly, because the National Farmers Federation understand what I just said, and that is that there are enormous opportunities for the farm sector in, you know, striving towards zero net emissions. Because if you're a big company looking for offsets, Jess, you know, you want to show that you're paying your bit, then you can buy those offsets from a farmer that's either dramatically reduced his or her carbon emissions or has done something to radically and substantially improve the amount of carbon being absorbed back out of the atmosphere.
Exactly. Well, it's certainly been an interesting week. Joel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure, Jess. Thank you.